This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We kick off today, or should that be bully off, with news of something with a fair dinkum Aussie title. It's called Fair Go Sport. And to tell us all about it, we have on the phone Victorian Human Rights Commissioner, Dr. Helen Zocchi. Good afternoon, Helen.
Going, Doug?
I'm going pretty well.
Now, that's good.
Now, tell us about this initiative. There seem to be an awful lot of people involved in it.
Well, the more, the you know, broader the spread of the message, I guess, Doug.
Indeed.
So, basically, the Australian Sports Commission have asked us to actually develop a resource which tackles homophobia in sport. And we identified hockey as a good sporting code to actually work with, and I know that Ben is going to be talking a little bit more about Hockey Victoria and their involvement in this. But I guess this really came from the concern about the writing themselves in research, where we know that many young Australians experience homophobic reactions. Some of them harassment right through to, incidents of violence.
Yeah, indeed.
And that a lot of the experience of young same-sex attracted people was that they felt very unsafe in sporting environments. So with a fairly strong, I guess, evidence base, and also the work that had come out of the Crawford Report, which was a federal government initiative which found that homophobia and sexuality discrimination in sport was largely neglected, the Australian Sports Commission identified this as a pretty important area, and we're really delighted to work with them and with Hockey Victoria and Hockey Australia on this initiative.
So what exactly does it involve from your end? I mean, we'll talk about how it's working in Hockey Victoria with Ben in a moment. But
Well, I guess in terms of the outcome, what we want is for the prevention of homophobic reactions to be embedded and integrated in the day-to-day practice of sport. So that's, I guess, the bottom line, that ideally what we want is discrimination to be prevented, and then if it does occur, that there are mechanisms to deal with it, and that it doesn't have to be escalated to a complaint, although people should complain if they don't get any other redress. So we wanted an initiative that identified how one sporting code could actually tackle this. And the way that we've approached this, and we've had Peter Goulet, who's one of our very senior officers working on this project, to actually work with what in the fabric, I guess, of how hockey is organised is going to be the best way to actually tackle homophobia and to raise awareness. Now, I should say at the start, hockey wasn't chosen because it was a problem code. It was quite the contrary. It was actually chosen because, I guess, it's you know, nicely balanced in terms of men and women's participation, because it has a very extensive stream of, local clubs feeding into it, that it has a national structure. So in terms of its governance, it was a really good structure, and it was good to work with a code like that as a demonstration model. So at the end of the day, what we want is a process, resources, strategies to prevent homophobia and to deal with it, and for it to be integrated into the daily business of sport.
Helen, Tim Wilson from the Institute of Public Affairs here. You've talked a lot about structure and process, but the thing that probably stands out to me more than anything else is the need to change culture within sports.
Yeah.
How much of this is about driving cultural change, voluntary cultural change, where people are both aware of their behaviour and also making sure that they're aware of other people's behaviour as well?
That's very much why I guess I was talking about all of those other aspects, because in a sense, if you have cultural change, then you have to have ownership, and it's a question of how do we get ownership of this as an issue within a sporting code. And it's all very well to talk about ownership at an elite sport level or at an adult level, but we're talking right down to the kids who jump out onto the hockey pitches, little kids.
Yeah.
and grow up with the support. So it's very much about the working through the whole of the feeders in relation to a sport, and for this to become embedded into the, you know, what I talked about is their day-to-day business, that it's not an add-on, it's not, oh gosh, we mustn't be homophobic today.
Yeah.
It's basically that in every practice, in every interaction, in every game, in every supporter involvement, that it's just built in ultimately, that there's no difference to whether someone's same-sex attracted or whether they're black or white.
Sure.
Or whatever they might be.
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems that we always have with all these kind of things, and we've seen it, I think, to a certain extent with racism too, is that you can put one of these programs in place, you can do the training kind of thing, but unless it is embedded everywhere, it tends to sort of fall back. I mean, we've seen that start to happen with the AFL, and racism is starting to raise its head again because they've kind of taken their eye off the ball a bit, I think.
What's a timeline, Helen, for this project?
Well, this project will conclude at the end of the year. But I guess in relation to Doug's comment, you know, the thing that I always say is that discrimination in a general sense, you know, the ultimate object is about changing the culture.
Yeah.
But it's there's never an end point in this. And so what this project is really saying is, let's get a demonstration model. And when you talk to Ben, you will get a sense of the depth of the commitment of this particular sporting code. And they will then, you know, it without wanting to sound too evangelical, if you like, what this then requires is vigilance and commitment. You know, this is something that hockey then has to take on in the future and say, well, how do we continue to build this into the way we do business? And that's true of any discrimination. There's never an end point, because ultimately we want the normal reaction to be no reaction, but that means you have to be constantly vigilant. You know, where there are people who come into your environment that don't understand that point of view, we need to jump onto it. There need to be mechanisms locally where people own the reaction, if you like, and it's not up to individuals to bring about change.
Yeah, and of course, an ounce of prevention is always worth a pound of cure. And if it's part of the regular day-to-day habits, if you like, of the organisation, that's much less likely to blow up into something you really need to, you know, get very...
Yeah, you know, I mean, I do think it's interesting that... well, there's a couple of things that have happened broadly in terms of how we're tending to approach discrimination, and certainly one of the really good things about the new Equal Opportunity Act that's coming into effect on the 1st of August is that there's a heavy emphasis on prevention. There's a heavy emphasis on the acknowledgement of the link between disadvantage and discrimination, and you know, what we do realise now is that many of the, I guess, the sort of social models of health that we should be learning from. For that very point, Doug, that prevention is better than cure, that we should, that it's appropriate that if we're talking about cultural change, that inbuilt in that is cultural awareness in the very broad sense of the impact of discrimination. But that, you know, just as prevention in any other setting needs constant resourcing, so does this.
Sure. Yeah, because I'm glad you made the link with health and all that, because I think it's a key point that people maybe haven't taken on board as well as they might in a lot of situations, that there are impacts on mental and physical health if you don't deal with discrimination.
Yes. And that's why I think this research that's been done, they're writing themselves in, and the Come Out to Play research is really important. And in the race area, we've seen that that's really critical in terms of the link between racial discrimination and the impact on health. So we really are building up a much more sophisticated understanding that discrimination is not just about social norms, it's about adding value to the community.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Helen.
Thanks very much for the opportunity
to
talk about it.
And we will no doubt be talking about this again as the program rolls on.
Okay, terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Dr. Helen Zoki there, the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commissioner. My name is Doug Pollard.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.